Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news. And the show starts right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
If your small agricultural business was affected by a drought or flood, the California Small Agricultural Business Drought and Flood Relief Grant Program is open for applications. You can visit cadroughtfloodrelief.com to learn more and to apply. The California Small Agricultural Business Drought and Flood Relief Grant Program is administered by the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. The USDA has announced it is improving crop insurance options for small and diversified farmers by improving the whole farm revenue protection and microfarm insurance plans. The updates are part of the Risk Management Agency's efforts to increase participation and access to crop insurance. The improvements in both policies are a direct response from feedback that they have received from producers that, according to RMA Administrator Marcia Bunger, she says these are two of the most comprehensive risk management plans available, and they are especially important to specialty crop, organic, urban, and direct market producers. Changes to the whole farm policy include allowing all eligible producers to qualify for 80 and 85% coverage levels. Producers will also be able to purchase catastrophic coverage level policies for individual crops. Micro farm policy improvements include moving the sales closing date to a less busy time of the year, especially helpful for agents to assist growers with important risk management decisions. Dock workers at West Coast Ports ratified a six-year contract that improved pay and benefits for 22,000 employees and 29 ports from California to Washington State. Members of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union voted 75% in favor of approving the West Coast Port Worker Agreement that runs until 2028. Reuters News says longshore workers covered by the agreement are based at some of the busiest seaports in the nation, including the Port of Los Angeles Long Beach, which is the busiest ocean trade getaway in the U.S. The contract negotiations were protected and challenging, that according to ILWU International President Willie Adams. The Union and Pacific Maritime Association employer group reached a tentative agreement back in June, ending 13 months of talks. The agreement eased worries that more West Coast disruptions could hit the all-important retail holiday shipping season. West Coast ports lost business to others on the East and Gulf Coasts. The California Table Grape Commission has reported an estimated 25 million boxes of California table grapes have been lost due to Hurricane Hillary. The hurricane hit the state on Sunday, August 20th, in the midst of harvest season. Nick Dulcich with Pretty Lady Vineyards says he believes this is a conservative estimate. He says what he could see around there, he thinks at least 40 million of boxes have been lost, but it could be 50 million out of the initially projected harvest of 96.9 million boxes. He continued to say that the whole growing area has been hit with excessive rainfall. That Sunday, it rained from 10 a.m. in the morning until midnight, and a key grape growing region like Maricopa took a lot of rain. Altogether, 2 to 3 inches of rain fell in the heart of the season. He says he can't pick on at least 800 acres as they are gone. The timing couldn't be worse. He says they are right between the early and mid-season varieties. Sugar Drop, Sugar Roan, and Flame are early varieties, and picking had been finished. However, the storm came right before the harvest of varieties like Chrissy, Green Emerald, and Scarlet Royal. He says they have been decimated as a result. The varieties that were close to harvest are seeing a lot of split grapes. From the later season varieties, many grapes have been rotting and yields will be reduced. In the meantime, the market has jumped by $10 a box. The 2023 California walnut production is forecast at 790,000 tons, up 5% from 2022's production of 752,000 tons. The forecast is based on 385,000 bearing acres, down 4% from 2022's estimated bearing acreage of 400,000. The California walnut industry has increased its focus on providing handlers and growers the most accurate crop information by accelerating the collection of various data points, according to Robert Verloop, CEO and Executive Director for the California Walnut Commission and the California Walnut Board. While official final shipment inventory and closeout figures for the 2022 crop will be released soon, preliminary figures indicate last year's crop is virtually sold out. Last year, they were facing a completely different scenario with 130,000 tons of inventory brought on by the lingering effects of the COVID-impacted global marketplace and a record heat wave last September that negatively impacted the entire crop, which led to lethargic sales and record low grower returns, according to Verloop. With minimal carryover from the previous crop year and favorable weather throughout the growing season, they're optimistic about the new crop year, according to Tim Sabato, CEO of Prima Nos, based in Linden, California. He says the upcoming crop promises a return to exceptional quality that defines California walnuts globally. Harvest will begin this month and may extend into November due to the early season cooler temperatures, he says. Their focus is on aggressive harvest, picking a crop at its peak quality and freshness. In-shell walnut shipments for international destinations will start in October. In the U.S. and Canada, retail customers are currently placing orders and bidding sales plans for their traditionally large holiday promotions and their health-focused kernel campaigns for January and February. Although lemon harvest is delayed, California's Desert Region, or District 3, is expected to start with limited picking between now and mid-September. Climate change has led to more extreme environmental conditions with increased temperatures, intense, inconsistent precipitation, and amplified insect pressure on crops. All these natural effects are creating challenging growing and crop conditions, according to a California grower shipper. These changes have resulted in a delayed start to the season in District 3 and a projected 15% or larger decline in lemon production compared to last year. Market forces and lower supply have led to elevated lemon prices, which is beneficial for growers who have struggled with low prices in recent years. It's a blessing that the market supply conditions are helping prices move closer to normal levels after three sessions of depressed prices, he said. Between Fancy Choice and Standard Grade, the seasonal average price of lemons was down about $5 to $7 per box in the past 3 years. Reduced prices are predominantly being caused by perfect competition exacerbated by the accumulation of large volumes of imported lemons to the U.S. market. Adding the rising cost of growing, packing, and distributing lemons, it has become increasingly challenging for lemon growers to sustain. The economics of growing lemons have not been profitable in recent seasons. Supply is tight right now on both blueberries and blackberries. On blueberries, the industry supply is significantly below this time last year. That according to Alan Eidegger, vice president of sales for California Giant Berry Farms. Organic blueberry supply is winding down in Oregon, with organic volumes coming from Peru following the end of the Oregon season. On blackberries, supply is only slightly below this time last year. Blackberry volumes from Mexico are currently light. However, that will increase by the end of September, according to Eidegger, adding that volumes will increase from both central Mexico and California. He says they're currently coming off of peak volumes of blackberries from Watsonville. As far as growing conditions, the California blackberry growing areas have been warm and humid, increasing minor quality issues. Organic blackberries are currently peaking in Watsonville, with the Mexico crop increasing in volume until they reach strong production in early October through the end of the year. Meanwhile, demand is good right now on both blueberries and blackberries. Prices on blueberries have consistently risen over the past couple of weeks as volume has dropped. Prices on blackberries are about where they would expect them to be this time of the year, according to Eidegger. Manpacking recently expanded its offerings of its commodity vegetables and value-added products to the East Coast with the support of parent company Fresh Del Monte's wholly owned distribution facilities. The company is now servicing several major retailers out of the North Carolina-based distribution centers. This expansion further positions Mann's, a grower, shipper, and processor, as a one-stop shop for its full line of offerings, which include commodity vegetables and value-added products such as the air fryer kit and a line of family-favorite veggies, all through its access to its fully logistics and distribution network. By leveraging the services of Tricont Trucking and Logistics, Fresh Del Monte's third-party inland logistics company, Manns can provide customers nationwide with fresh produce. Its vertically integrated supply chain, similar to Fresh Del Monte's, allows customers to purchase products and have them processed and delivered directly via Mann Packing. The efficiency of the system allows for an optimization and shelf life for producers at a lower cost to the customer. That according to company information.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
The Vine, an initiative by the University of California Agriculture and Natural Resources, is now accepting applications for its Vine Validation of Innovation program. Made possible with support from a UC Climate Action grant, the program is inviting startups to apply with a focus on providing comprehensive support for field trials, a critical stage for any agriculture technology venture. Alif Jalon, head of the program.
Essentially, it's an innovation network for agriculture, food, and biotech in California. Its focus is to identify, commercialize, scale science and technology breakthroughs, as well as prioritizing success for California farmers and food producers. One of the other initiatives is to support healthy communities and climate-smart food and farming. We do this by boosting California's rural and underserved communities, as well as increasing inclusivity and diversity in agriculture and entrepreneurship. And lastly, creating U.S. tech competitiveness and food self-sufficiency. Within the Vine, there are several initiatives, and the VIP program that you mentioned, Validation of Innovation Program, is one of them. It's a unique program. It's a unique accelerator program that matches startups with project partners in agritech industry. What we don't do is we don't take equity like other accelerator programs, and we don't focus on startup education. We select startups that already have knowledge of how to market and sell a product in USA. So our program won't be providing educational classes. What we do is that we facilitate and deliver proof of concept projects and field trials. And the way we do differently is that how do we do it differently? We only focus on industry defined challenges in California agriculture. I want to underline this again. We only focus on industry defined challenges in California agriculture. We built a unique process to seamlessly run field trials by the support of our expert network to ensure the success of these trials. What I mean by success is that we make sure that the field trial gets completed with findings that evaluate the technology in the best way positive. And the results are shared with the industry partners to lead to commercial engagements. This is how we believe we can advance and de-risk ag-tech innovations.
The program aims to support innovation in the agriculture technology sector, particularly in climate resilient solutions for California food systems. And as has been seen with stark changes in climate this year and last, these solutions are more pertinent now than ever.
Drought, disease, and pest pressures. There is also pressure on the farmers from the consumers and the government to reduce carbon output. Our initial focus topics for the VIP program are selected to address these challenges. So the first five initial focus points are manure to product, harvest automation, controlled environment ag, CEA, regenerative practices, and biological solutions.
Science-based farm-level support and adaptation planning tools are just one example, Jalon said, of the many types of agriculture technology the program is hoping to support.
These tools especially focus on using less water to ensure the same productivity that the farmers are getting at the moment. So there are several of them. It depends on the needs of a grower, which one that they should be using. So it I don't think it will make sense to, you know, highlight one and another one. So I, you know, but these tools are actually quite great to to ensure productivity and, you know, efficiency.
Startups interested in joining the Vine VIP can apply until September 16th next week. Detailed information about the program and the application process is available on the Vine's website at thevine.io/VIP. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
It could be a September to remember as U.S. lawmakers face daunting differences over spending decisions needed to keep the government open after the fiscal year ends on the 30th. Hardline Republicans aren't budging, Democrats aren't budging, and a desperate White House is already calling for a temporary spending extension to keep the government operating. Spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre.
A continuing resolution to prevent a government shutdown. This is something that Congress can do. They can prevent a government shutdown. They need to prevent a government shutdown.
But hardline conservatives want more budget cuts than those struck in a budget deal that Speaker McCarthy and President Biden struck, while the White House wants more spending for disasters, immigration, Ukraine, and nutrition, $1.4 billion more for WIC alone. The USDA spending bill stalled in the House Rules Committee is advertised at more than $25 billion. But to get to that figure, Republicans redirected nearly $7.5 billion in unspent Inflation Reduction Act funds. How were agricultural import projections adjusted in USA's August quarterly ag trade forecast for fiscal year 2023 and reflected in the first forecast for FY 2024? USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
USDA's revised ag trade numbers show imports of over $196 billion with a B dollars, down from the quarterly forecast in May of $198 billion in imports for fiscal year 2023. Yet USDA's first look at FY24 ag trade shows imports reaching a record of $199.5 billion. Sean Arena of the Office of the Chief Economist explains, however, that most of our imported agricultural product
are in non-competitive type of areas. Import of products like bananas, pineapples, mangoes, coffee, tropical zone products that we don't produce really here in the U.S. And we also have a lot of counter-seasonal type of products we import that sort of complement our own growing cycles. Think of things like blueberries. There's a lot of processed foods mixed in here too, including alcoholic beverages, which do encompass a big part of our import. Think of things like tequila.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
There were U.S. had imposed some import tariffs on steel from a variety of countries over, and those countries then put retaliatory tariffs on U.S. products, trying to force the U.S. to the negotiating table on these issues. And over time, the U.S. basically settled this issue with the majority of countries established what are called import quotas for various foreign steel products and moved on from that. But this didn't happen with China. The U.S. basically filed a suit at the WTO against the retaliation that China put on a lot of products, retaliatory tariffs, including many U.S. ag products. And now WTO panel has ruled that the U.S. was in the right. China had no legal right to put tariffs on that.
Due to the fact that the U.S. steel import duties were implemented under national security, he says WTO found that China did not have a right to retaliate against the U.S. And although this is a good result, he says there is not a WTO appellate body that can push China into making the corrections, thus they would have to take the retaliatory tariffs off on their own. In the end, he says this is good for trade law, and AFBF is happy with the significance of the outcome. The de-dollarization of the world economy has been thrust back into the spotlight with the BRICS summit, which took place recently in South Africa. While lacking a spot in the agenda, decreasing the prevalence of the U.S. dollar in trade and financial transactions among the global south was repeatedly referenced by the world leaders in attendance. Looking at trade and transaction data for the U.S. dollar in the past 10 years, the currency has so far defended the major role it plays in international markets. It has only lost small amounts of its large influence for some metrics, while it extended its reach into others. Compared to the United States, a share of the international economy and international trade, the role of the dollar remains outsized.
Mm-hmm. JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcast, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.